What's going on, guys? This is Andrew with the Utah Jazz Podcast, and sorry, it hasn't been a while. Just been busy and whatnot, and sometimes I get a little bit, maybe overzealous might be the word, but when I'm going through the games and stuff, and I do a podcast right at the game, yes, I'm fresh and everything, and it comes straight up my mind, but sometimes I say things maybe I shouldn't, and then I kind of regret some of the things. But anyways, I don't get a lot of feedback here. I've gotten a couple people on Twitter, really like two, saying that, you know, I've done a good job and whatnot, want me to do it, but I just don't get a lot of feedback, and if I'm not really getting any feedback, I just don't really see much of a point to do this, and I do get, you know, a decent amount of downloads, but I'm not exactly sure how Podomatic actually quantifies, you know, actual listens, or if somebody's just like, oh, what's this, oh, never mind, blah, blah, blah. But anyways, the Jazz season is over. The Jazz finished very strong, winning 9 of their last 12 games. Is it 12? Yeah, 9 of the last 12. Only losing to very, very good teams, which was the Thunder, the Nuggets, and the last game, which was the Memphis Grizzlies. And quite frankly, a lot of people were like, oh, you know. And honestly, I thought if the Jazz would have beat Memphis, depending on how D'Antoni was gonna basically be like, okay, you know, it was a close game, but we're not gonna know the exact outcome until after our game. So if he would have done that, maybe it would have been the same exact game. But if he didn't really care and other players were looking on the fronts, oh, look, the Jazz won, now we have to win, I think it changes that game. And even though, you know, the Lakers ended up winning that game, if they find out, oh, the Jazz won, that's just more pressure. And then I think the game has changed, that Houston-LA game, whether it's, you know, mistakes are made because they're nervous and they want to make the right play, or they don't make the right play because I was like, oh, I don't want to take the shot, blah, 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 that kind of thing. And you almost think, okay, the game would be different if they find out the Jazz win. And I think they were safe. I mean, it didn't matter if they won or lost. They were in. Obviously, they wanted to win because they wanted to play the Spurs instead of the Thunder. And after the Jazz lost, I actually wanted the Lakers to win because I want to see the Rockets-Thunder series. Yes, I want to see Harden go against his former team. I really, really, really want to see that because that is going to be awesome. But following what the Jazz have accomplished this season, and then maybe we'll get to... So this might be a two-parter or a very long podcast. I'm not quite sure. But what the Jazz did this season was actually pretty good. And you know, looking at the beginning of the season, you're like, okay, well, you know, we want to start Favors, we want Gorn to be starting, we want Burks to be coming off the bench, you know, getting a good amount of minutes, and we want Canada to have an increased role as well. And some of those happened in certain parts of the season, other times they didn't happen. Burks, for a good portion of the beginning of the season, didn't play. I mean, he had very, very, very limited minutes, and I think that frustrated a lot of people, including Burks. And actually, just pull the schedule and just take a look at what the Jazz went through, even though I probably can. I mean, the Jazz, what they did this year, they started off great, you know, with a big win over Dallas, home and opener, and then they lost three in a row. Three road games against, and you got to remember that New Orleans game was lost by two. That's a tough one. Because we didn't guard Ryan Anderson correctly, and he got a corner three and nailed it to beat the Jazz. You know, obviously the Jazz were going to lose against the Spurs and the Grizzlies. You know, just beginning of the season, the Jazz weren't going to come out and be beating huge teams. But then we go and play LA, beat them, lose at Denver. You know, and then we, you know, start winning some games. We start playing very well. You know, after we got back after that. After a fourth game, we had that three-game road trip, New Orleans, San Antonio, Memphis. The Jazz, after that, played very well. We were 2-3, or 1-3 going into coming back to Salt Lake to play the Lakers, and then ending the month, we go to 9-8, you know, which isn't great, but, you know, you know, pretty good for, you know, starting out. And then the Jazz kind of had some struggles and everything. But I think one of the big ones is, you know, the Jazz lose at Houston. Jazz just, you know, they had some good stretches and some bad stretches. And all of a sudden, you know, Jazz had a nice little winning streak going. And then it gets snapped and you're like, oh, yeah, dang it. You know, the Jazz, I think, was it that one? Because the Jazz won four in a row twice, I believe. Yeah, that was twice. We had 2 4-game winning streaks. And then our last one, we had a 5-game. Yeah, but a 5-game winning streak snapped by the Nuggets. And then we win against New Orleans and then at Golden State, which was huge. Was huge. That was a huge win. That was a great win. And I think that could be a sign, oh, you know, maybe the Jazz can maybe get some stuff going on the road. You know, that was huge. I mean, it was totally unexpected. And the Jazz played amazing in that game. Just battled and battled and battled. And then we go on the road and we beat Minnesota. And you're like, well, Jazz have won 3 road games in a row. Before that, we had lost like our previous 9. And you're like, well, maybe it's possible we go into Memphis and we actually win. Now, Memphis is very, I mean, they're first in the league in defense in the last 10 games. And the Jazz, you know, obviously had been playing very well. So you're like, okay, maybe the Jazz can do something. And they didn't really seem in control in that first half, but they stayed with it. They stayed, it was a 42-40 game after the first half. And you're thinking, okay, you know, the things that Jazz need to do is rebound. Defensive rebound is the big one. Memphis was just gobbling up offensive boards and getting put back. Just grab those rebounds, and that's going to be a huge thing right there. Second of all, we need to score. You know, there was times neither team could really score. I mean, that was tough. The problem was, is Jazz, you know, they get to that point where they get a little jump shot happy, and they just keep doing that. You're like, no. When you're not making outside shots, you got to go inside. You got to pass it into Al Jefferson, and you got to get him going. And he was playing well. No Jazz player played great in that game. Nobody did. Al played the best. And other than that, it was just Zach Randolph destroyed Paul Millsap, destroyed Derek Favors, and destroyed Al Jefferson. I mean, destroyed all of them. And that was tough. You're thinking, okay, you know, Millsap has been gobbled up by Zach Randolph and all the previous matchups. This year, let's put Derek Favors on him. And that didn't work. And we put Al on him. That didn't work. We have nobody else to put on him. And they're like, okay, now we're going to double. Doubling it got it out of his hand, but it didn't really help that much. So, eh. But anyways, you look back in the season, and you look back, okay, how did it pan out? Okay, so at the beginning, it didn't work out too well. We're trying a new thing, trying to run and gun more, get into a fast break as fast as possible. If we got nothing, then we get into a secondary break. If we don't get any there, then we go and then run a set, you know, get into the post, whatever. That did not work out. It just did not. A lot of times, you know, beginning of the year, you're looking and it's like they're running that first break. And they're like, oh, we're running. Well, we got to do something. We can't just stop and turn around. They'd do that sometimes, but they would just keep going and going and going. And then they would put up a bad shot. And you're like, oh, no. That's not how it's supposed to run. And then Mo Williams gets hurt. And that changed. Jazz went back to what they did last year. More of. Not completely. We went back to more. Al is dominant. We got to go into him. And we need to let him score. Showed what we wanted to get back to. We are a post team this season. We are a post team. But anyways, I mean, you look at this and what I was expecting the Jazz to do this season. You know, when we acquired Mo Williams, Marvin Williams, and Randy Foy, when we got those three guys, you're thinking, okay, those are great 3-point shooters. You know, Marvin, not career-wise, is a great 3-point shooter, but his last 2 seasons, he had shot like 38% from 3. I mean, he had shot very well from 3. So you're thinking, okay, you got 3 guys that can shoot 38%+ from 3. You have the Jazz team, who were so dominant last year in the post. I mean, they were 3rd in the league in points in the paint. I mean, and that was all post-ups. I mean, not all of it, but a big majority of that. That was probably, you know, maybe 80% of that was post-ups. The rest were cuts and layups and whatnot. So you look at it and you're like, okay, what I wanted to see the Jazz do was continue that post play. Now, points in the paint were going to go down, obviously. But what I wanted to do is keep that same post play. And then what we couldn't do last year was kick it out for an open three. Well, we could kick it out for an open three, but it was never, you know, we didn't have any good three-point shooters. Gordon was our best. And, you know, and that was it. You know, we had Gordon. Devin Harris, you know, he wasn't really there. You know, he didn't seem engaged quite well. And there were some games you're like, holy crap, this is Devin Harris you want. And other times it was like, what the crap? Raj Bell was our best, and then he blew up with Corbin. And other than that, you know, he had CJ, who was a 33, he was shooting like 32% from three. This year he had a great season from downtown. But, you know, you look at this and, you know, you bring in three awesome 3.3 really, really knock down shooters from deep. And what I expected was to just continue that dominant post play and then kick it outside to Mo Williams, Randy Foy, or Gordon Hayward, or Marvin Williams. He had four guys that could knock down a three. And the Jazz didn't do that. We tried to this run-and-gun style, and then we went to post-ups again, but not dominantly. We tried to do a little bit more, okay, try to, you know, run off some cuts. But the Jazz system, I mean, Corbin, he needs to add more complex stuff in there. A lot of it is just, you know, okay, let's run out this little screen right here, oh, plus it and out, and let him go to work. There's not a whole lot of cuts and stuff that you saw when Jerry was running the thing. And it's nothing against Corbin. He's learning. But I think he needs to add some more complex plays. Something that's going to be more... that's going to get, you know, okay, we need to run this and this and this. And then if you run out this screen, double screen back and blah, blah, blah. And then boom, you got an open shot or open layup or open dunk or, you know, this here and this here. The Jazz just did not run anything that was complex. And you could see it was just, okay, run a screen here. Boom, you're kind of open, maybe open for a three. There wasn't a lot of complex stuff, and I think Corbin needs to get back to that. But anyways, so my view on the season as far as what I was expecting didn't happen. You know, I expected the Jazz to be taking probably about 23s a game. I think we were pretty close to that. I think we were about 17. We were pretty backside at the end of the league in three-point attempts, yet we were... I think top 10 in three-point percentage. Not quite sure how accurate I am at that. I guess I could look at some stats. Let's see the regular season team statistics. Here we are. Of course, they're not going to give three-point percentage. Of course they don't. But, you know, the Jazz were offensive. We're tied for 11th in the league offensively. Defensively, let's take a look at that. Jazz were 21st in the league defensively. I think so. It's a slight upgrade defensively and a slight notch down offensively. So, I think last year the Jazz were 6th offensively. I want to say Jazz were maybe 7th. I think it was 7th or 6th offensively. Then we were 23rd defensively. Man, I want to see three-point percentage. Let's see. Well, okay, it's I want team statistics. It's not working for me, but, you know, Jazz were pretty good. Come on, give me percentages. Man, why does it have to be like this? Why? Player statistics. Nope, that's not going to work.
Anyway, whoa, hit my mic.
Anyways, so you look back on the season, and I think the Jazz were successful in developing players. I couldn't find the word, but developing players. Alec Burks, I think, is the one that didn't really get a whole lot of development, and he was kind of the disappointment this season. Not as far as what he did, but as far as his development went, and it's not his fault. He didn't get a lot of – you know, quarter of the season, he didn't play at all. I mean, he played some garbage minutes, a few knickknacks here, that type of thing. I mean, he didn't really play at all. And then somebody got injured. I can't remember who. Maybe it was spawned from Mo. I think it was when Mo got injured, he started getting more minutes. because I think at that same time Marvin got hurt. And so, yeah. So Alec Burks is really the kind of guy you're like, well, we still don't know what we're going to get from Alec. He did shoot the three much better this season. And actually, let's go ahead and look at his stats this season as compared to last season. Glare page, here we go. So last season, come on. Stats. Let's see. So last year, he was about 15 minutes a game, actually really 16 minutes a game. He shot 43% from the field, 33% from three. He was 72% from the free throw line. He had 2.2 rebounds a game, 0.9 assists, 0.1 blocks, 0.5 steals, and 7 points a game. So, and then you look at this season, I mean, it's not really much improvement. I mean, there's some and there's some dip. And he got about 17.8 minutes a game, so a little bit more, about 2 minutes more a game. He shot 42% from the field, and he had a very tough, when he started getting minutes again, he had a very tough time. He could not shoot the ball, but the second half of the season, he was playing much better. Just FYI, he was shooting about 48% from the field, but we're going off the season. So 42% from the field, 36% from three, so he did increase, and he increased his attempts. Last season, he was about 0.8 attempts a game, and this year he's doubled that at 1.4. So, and then that, I mean, he wasn't a three-point shooter coming in. He really wasn't. And I was hoping he was going to be like Gordon, because he did have a good first year. His freshman year in college, he had not a great year, not as good as Gordon did. Gordon shot about 48% from his freshman year. Alec was around probably about 38. And then both their second seasons, they were sub 30%. And I was hoping Alec was going to come in and be like that, and then show, oh, yes, I can hit the three. It just didn't work out last season. And he didn't really do that. I mean, and I think Alec, if he can hit three-pointers at the rate he's doing right now, which is 36%, that's great. That's actually great. Great for him. And so, yeah, but free throw percentage went down a little bit. I don't know what's going on. He shot, I think, 80% in college from the free throw line. And this, in the NBA, he's shooting career-wise 72%. This is not good. He needs to get up with Hornacek or whatever and get his free throws down. Because he does have a nice release and everything, and it looks good. He should be an 80% free throw shooter. Assists are up, rebounds just right the same. And again, when he starts getting more minutes, so when he comes off the bench and he's getting 25 minutes a night, you know, I think he will average maybe about 12 points a game, maybe about 5 rebounds, we'll say 4 rebounds, 2 assists, maybe a block, not maybe like half a block. Half a block a game, and a steal, that'll be good. You know, I mean, and if he can keep his turnovers down, which, I mean, turnovers, he doesn't really turn over the ball. I mean, he's one turnover a game. This is his stats. So, this year, just as a quantifiable number, he hit 33 of 92 three-pointers. The previous season, he shot 15 of 45. So he doubled his attempts. More than doubled. I don't know why. That's weird. But he more than, because it says it's taken 0.8 attempts last year, and then this year he took 1.4. But he attempted more than double. I don't know. That doesn't really make any sense. But anyways, but he hit more than double. So, I mean, he increased his percentage just a little bit. And then, like I said, the last couple weeks, he would, second half of the season, really, he really locked in, and he was hitting about 39-40% from three. So he was doing pretty dang good. So anyways, I mean, that's, and he's like the disappointment. He didn't really improve much of anything. And that's just lack of getting minutes, you know, up and down, whole type of thing. And he finally got minutes, and then he wasn't really playing well. Second half of the season, he was. And he's the guy that you're like, okay. Honestly, if he's the guy I think is going to be like our go-to guy. That's who I think he can be. I think he's going to be like Dwayne Wade. Probably not as good. But I think he can be a knockdown shooter. I think he can be that guy that's like, oh, we need a shot. You go to him. He's going to be that knockdown shooter that goes off some screens and just pulls up. That's who he can be, but we'll see. Other players, let's take a look at Enes Kanter real quick. And he was having a great season until he got injured, and you're just like, aw, why did you have to dislocate your shoulder? And that was nasty. That looked bad. So, anyways, and he had quite a bit of improvement. So, like, his minutes went up about 2 minutes a game. He went from 13 to 15. So, just not a whole lot increase there, but his production. So, he went from shooting 49.6% to 55% or 54.5%. He hit a three-pointer this year. Very good. One of one. He did take a three last year. I don't know when he did that, but he did one of one this year. Oh, he's improving. He's trying to be Memo now. free throw percentage, he greatly improved. Greatly improved. He shot 66% from the free throw line last year. This season, he shot 79.5. That's huge. That is a huge increase. And let's take a look at just attempts and everything. His attempts went up a little bit. He was 70 of 105. So actually his attempts went down. His rate to getting to the free throw line actually went down. Because, you know, as far as he played, how many games last year? 66 games. Oh, actually it's right around, never mind. It's right around the same because he only played 70 games this year. He played 66 the year before. So he's actually, That's my bad. He actually did increase his attempts. He went from 105 to 117. So, you know, a slight increase. And that might be because he played four more games. So maybe it's not an increase. But his percentage went up. That's what's important. His percentage went up. A lot. I mean, that's 12% is huge. I mean, Al Jefferson had a similar, you know, upkeep. I mean, I think he shot around 80% from the free throw line this season. I mean, he was great. And he's a 70% career. So, anyways, rebounds a game. He's at 4.3. I mean, he's same pace. I mean, he's 4.2 the year before. Assists went way up, 0.1 to 0.4. I mean, I know that's not really a lot, but that's important for a big to be able to start increasing their assists. And I think that's his next step is assists, you know, to be backing down and pass the ball. I mean, his turnovers were high. 1.4 turnovers a game this year. I mean, in 15 minutes, that's, and for a post player, I mean, he had a lot of turnovers. 101 turnovers this year, way up from the previous season, which was 54. So, I mean, he doubled it. He doubled his turnover rate, which he can't do that. That needs to be going down. He only averaged 7 points a game this year, but again, 15 minutes a game. And he did start twice. And in those two starts, he was a beast. He starts it off with a 23 points, 22 rebound game. Holy crap. Followed that up with, I think it was like 16 and 12 or something like that. I mean, just you're looking at it and you're like, holy crap. Enes Kanter is going to be a beast. Give him about two or three more years. And he is going to be crazy. I mean, I didn't think he was going to be this good. I thought maybe what he was on pace for right now, if he was playing 35 minutes a game, if he was starting, I thought maybe he would be getting about 12 points, 8 rebounds a game. I thought that was about as high as I was thinking he was going to get. And maybe, luckily, maybe we get 18 points and 12 rebounds. I think that's his ceiling. Maybe not even that. I think his ceiling is actually higher than that. I think he can average 20-plus points a game and 12-plus rebounds a game. Just because the way he improved from last season. I mean, last year you could see he had one move. That was the up and under. One move. He would not take a jump shot. Even if he was wide open, he would not take a jump shot. He would not pass. If it did pass, it was usually a turnover when he was trying to back down. I mean, it was just, and now you go to this season, his passing is better. His turnovers went up. And you're like, but we'll see what happens next season. That's something he needs to work on. But he started his first start, 22 or 23 and 22. That's a dang good game. And that's just like, holy crap. And all that's kind of like, you think, okay, blah, 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 we did good. Now what's he going to do next game when he starts? And he followed up with a great game. Not as good, but great. And he did it against Charlotte. So you're kind of like, eh. And then he followed it up. I can't remember what team. It was a better team with better post presence. So he still did it against good players. So you're like, okay. You know, Kanter, you know, he's going to be, you know, pretty good. Pretty dang good. And I think he's going to be an all-star. You know, it's going to take a couple more seasons before we really see what he is. You know, what he can consistently do. And that's the same with all our guys. Gordon is just about there. Gordon is so close to that. And might as well just go to Gordon right now. I was going to go to Derek Favors, but now we'll go to Gordon Hayward right now. So let's take a look at his stats. His three-year progression, now we're into the three-year guys. So Gordon really has improved with one I already see one exception, but I'm just kind of scanning over some stuff right here. Yeah, I think there's really one area that he has faltered in, and that shooting percentage. That's it. His first season, he shot 48% from the field. Second season, 45. Third season, 43. You're like, eh. And that's increased minutes. I mean, he was very nervous to really do a whole lot in this first season. And then his second season, he was more comfortable taking shots. I mean, his attempts doubled. More than doubled his second season. And then they added a little bit more. So I think it's nothing to really worry about. If it goes down again next season, down to 40%, then you're kind of looking, okay, this looks a lot like CJ Miles, but with the exception of he does so much more than CJ does. And nothing against CJ. CJ is who he is. Gordon is definitely going to be better. Gordon is already better than CJ. The thing CJ had on Gordon was extreme athleticism. I mean, CJ was so quick. He could do so much with his body, and he could just do so much. His problem is he just couldn't get his shot right. That was his problem. But anyways, okay, so we'll look. He shot 43% from the field this year. His attempts, he was about 10 attempts a game. That's the thing he needs to get up. But I'm not worried about it. He shot 41% from three, which is great. Obviously, his first year, he shot 47% from three. But, you know, again, he was taking one three-pointer a game. And then it went down last year to 34. This year, it's up to 41. But he's at three and a half attempts a game. So that's great. 3.5 attempts a game, and you're hitting 41% of them. 41.5% of them, actually. Free throw attempts. His free throws, he came in the league shooting 71% from the free throw line. This year he shot 82.7. Last year was 83. So right, awesome. Rebounds a game went up from 1.9 to 3.5, and then down to 3.1 this season, which is fine. I think he's right where he should be, about 3 rebounds a game. Assists, 3 assists this season. Last year was the same, and the year before that was 1. So, nice improvement. Blocks, he's pretty much about the same every season. He's 0.3 his first, and his last two were 0.6 and 0.5. Steals, 0.8 this season, up from his first season at 0.4. Fouls, I mean, he's 1.6. I mean, that's where he's been his entire career. So, and then turnovers have gone up since his first season, but that's just improved ball handling, and that's just what's going to happen when he as a main ball. And that's going to be, he's going to be a point forward. And that's what he is. So, I mean, he's going to be playing the point guard position for a while in certain games and whatnot. But 14 points a game, nice progression, everything except for shooting percentage. The shooting percentage is the only thing that's got a downtick. Everything else has gone up. I mean, he's kind of fluctuated on some things. Some things are obvious that will fluctuate. Rebounds a game, that fluctuated. And that fluctuated because you brought in other guys that can rebound, like Marvin Williams. Alec Burks got some more minutes. Kanter got more minutes. Favors got more minutes. So that's just going to happen. So, you know, so he had a nice uptake, and Gordon Hayward is going to be awesome. He will be an all-star. And, oh, Derek Favors, Enes Kanter, and Gordon Hayward. Oh. This team is going to be a team to be afraid of years to come. So now we're on to Derek Favors, our last player we're really going to look at. And he definitely has improved this year. Definitely. His third year in the league, his third year with the Jazz, really his second year, because he only played half a year with the Jazz his first season. Last year was really only half a year. So... Anyways, here we are. Derek Favors. Here we are. So, shooting percentage slightly down. You know, it's gone down every season. Shot about 53% his first year, 49.9 his second year, and 48.2 this year. So, you know, not right around, you know, where you expect someone like him to be. He's not a real post player. He's not a jump shooter. He just is like a hustle player. You know, he'll grab an offensive rebound. He's trying to get his post game going, but we can't really quantify him as any of that because he doesn't really have that. He's just an athletic guy who makes good plays. Not all the time, but he will. And it's going to take him time. I think Favors can be Tyson Chandler. He could be Kevin Garnett. I think that's a stretch. I think defensively he can be any of those guys, definitely. For sure. Offensively, Tyson Chandler is kind of what we're leaning to right now. He's not a guy that's going to post up. Not a guy that's going to, you know, good from outside shooting. He's going to be a guy that's just cleaning up, and he's a very good defensive player. So here we are. His shooting percentage pretty dang even over his career, right around 50%. Free throw attempts and makes. I mean, he came into the league. His first season was about 58% from the free throw line, 65% his second season, and then the season he shot 68%. So nice uptick right there. Definitely nice. Rebounds this year definitely increased up to 7 this year. He also had 1 assist, which is great. You know, great progression for him. 1.7 blocks a game, career high. 0.9 steals, again, a career high. You know, his fouls are up, unfortunately. But that's going to happen. And then his turnovers are up as well. But, again, 9.4 points a game, 7 rebounds a game, 1 assist per game, almost 2 blocks a game. And he's shooting 50% from the field. His shooting percentage, I think for a while, was above 70%. I mean, he really improved his free throw percentages, and his free throw attempts this season, 260. I think that actually led the team. Not quite sure about that, but I think he did lead the team in free throw attempts. And, you know, he hit 68% of them. He was 260 this year. Last year was 194. Before that, it splits in between the teams. So 175. So a nice uptick right there. 175 its first season, 194 last season, and then this season 260. So nice uptake. Again, that's more minutes, more, you know, touches and whatnot, and his free throw percentage goes up. So now you're just like, okay, let's hope he takes a big step. We wanted to take the big step this year, but you're thinking, okay, 2 to 3 for big guys is usually not the big step, unless they're just amazing, unless they're incredible. There's not a whole lot of those guys. And like Dwight Howard, he increased all his stats every year, except for free throws, but that just came with more minutes a game. He didn't really evolve, but you know, all the greats, Kevin Garnett, those are the guys, you know, that type of player, Karl Malone, they're the ones that take the big step. And he might take longer. It takes longer now for big guys, especially because, you know, they come out of the league, they have 1 year or 2 years of college, and before it used to be 3 or 4 years of college. So, I mean, it is a big tick, and so it's not solid anymore. So it might be he might take the big step in this coming next season, which is his fourth season, or it might be the one after that. We don't know. It just, well, you know, it's going to happen, and we're impatient, you know, and the Jazz have so many free agents coming up, and you know, the team is, we're unsure about the team, and we're really afraid of that, and I'm afraid of it, but again, I'm also excited for it. So what we got, let's take a look at the Jazz team itself, because we got a lot of free agents on our team. So the only players we know for sure are coming back are Alec Burks, Jeremy Evans, Derek Favors, Gordon Hayward, Enes Kanter. I think it's Kevin Murphy as well. I think he signed a 2-year deal. I'm not quite sure though. Don't hold me to that. So I'm going to say Kevin Murphy. And then Marvin Williams has a player option. The rest of the team are free agents. So we may have 7 players. Because it just depends on Marvin. It really does. Marvin Williams has a player option. If he wants to come back, he will opt in. So, and we'll see. I think that directly affects whether Damari will come back. I think it will. Because I think the decision is we're either going to bring Marvin back or we're going to bring Damari back. Now, it's obviously we don't have a choice on Marvin, but I'm almost thinking, let's bring Damari back and just hope Marvin decides to. I'm nothing against Marvin, but he really didn't play what we wanted to play. And obviously, Tyrone Corbin misused him. That's on Tyrone Corbin. That's on Ty. That's his problem. What he did was make Marvin a jump shooter. The reason why Marvin played so well the last couple seasons is he was a cutter. He created. And they didn't let him do that this year. They are like, okay, stand in the corner, kind of right here. Don't really do it. We're not going to create for you. Well, we're going to pass you the ball and you're going to shoot it. That's not how Marvin should be used. If they're not going to use him like that, I don't want him back. Damari is just that hustle type of player, and I would definitely love to have him back, but I think we should only have one of the two. And it's nothing, I think it's Burks needs to develop. And this, you know, his third season, he thought he was going to have it last season. He needs the minutes. And if we have that logjam again, if we have, you know, 3 shooting guards, Kevin Murphy included, and if we have 3 small forwards, which is Gordon Hayward, Marvin Williams, DeMar Carroll, Burks is out again. Because then Gordon will slide over to the 2 or you know, in some sort of fashion like that and whatnot. And if Foy comes back again, which I certainly hope he does, he was saying he did. Him and Mo both said, hey, I want to come back. Now there's some things, other things we'll get to in a minute, but you know, those 2 said, you know, they want to come back. Foy wanted to sign more than a 1-year deal. So obviously he's like, definitely, I think Foy will come back. I think Foy will be back. Mo, we'll get to the draft in a minute, but I think Mo will come back. I think they'll re-sign Mo. It's not going to be for that much, not for what he's making this year. He's making $8.5 million. I don't think he's worth that much. I think he's worth maybe around $6 million, you know, maybe about $6 million. It's just what it is. But anyways, get on to some other people real quick. I was listening to David Locke's podcast with all the exit interviews. They're coming out and they talked to most of the players. They didn't talk to all of them. I think there's a few they didn't talk to. I don't think they talked to Marvin, Kevin Murphy, McNeil. I mean, they didn't talk to any of those guys. But they didn't, and Kenner wasn't there, so I think he was still rehabilitating his shoulder and whatnot. But anyways, all the other guys are talking. Now, what stood out to me, Paul Millsap and Al Jefferson both would decline to say they wanted to play in Utah. Nah, they didn't. It was asked, and he was like, Al was just like, yeah, I want to play in the NBA. He wasn't going to say, oh, I don't want to play in Utah, blah, blah, blah. And honestly, I think he does want to play, but I think he doesn't know. I think he does not know yet. He doesn't know where the Jazz are. He knows where the Jazz are going, but he doesn't know if he's in their plans. Same thing with Paul. He wouldn't say he wants to return. He wouldn't say he didn't want to return. It's just the fact that he didn't say anything about it. He's, nope, I want to play. I'm going to play somewhere. I'm going to play. He didn't say, I want to play here. I want to play there. These are my top destinations, blah, blah, blah. No player said that. Like I said, Mo Williams, Randy Foy both said they want to come back. Everyone else, Damari was kind of similar. He's like, there's some teams, blah, 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 that, want to, have seen me and see what I can bring to the table on a championship team, blah, blah, blah. And, my fans here, and I want to play with Jazz, but he didn't go out and say, I want to play here. But he pretty much alluded to the fact that he wants to come back. Or Watson, then he said something interesting. He said he, what he brings to the table, and his doctor said it'll be about 12 months before his knee is completely healed, and 12 months is right here, right now. That's where it is. And so now we didn't really see Earl Watson like we had before, and Earl Watson's going down. But he said that he wants to win a championship bad, and he thinks he can bring a lot to a championship team off the bench. And that right there sums it to the fact, he loves you. I think he loves Utah. He loved playing with the Jazz, but I think he wants to go and try to join a team that's championship caliber, whether that's Miami, whether that's Indiana again, whether it could be maybe Chicago, the Thunder, which they probably won't because they've got already backup players. But, just saying, certain teams, maybe he goes and plays for San Antonio. Maybe he goes and plays for the Nuggets. I don't know. But I think he is going to leave. From what I heard from that interview, he's not going to come back. He wants to go and try and join a team that's going to win a title because he wants it bad. So, and it's nothing, I think, honestly, I'd rather have Jamal Tinsel. I think he produced more scoring-wise. I think he was able to fill in that starting role very well. I'm not to say Earl Watson did a bad job, but he just, you watch him and play, and it's just like, he couldn't hit a shot. Last year, he did. He could. In the beginning of the year, I think he made some good plays, but for the most part, it was, he could not. His offense was terrible. But anyways, so from what I see and what I would like players to come back, like I said, either Damari or Marvin. I prefer Damari. You get him at a cheaper cost. You know what he brings to the table, and you know how he's going to be used. Marvin, it depends if we're going to use him the way he should be used, and that's as a creator. Making cuts and that kind of such. I want to bring Randy back. Randy Foy, definitely. Need a sharpshooter. Mo Williams, I would like to bring back if, the price is right. Honestly, I do not think the Jazz are going to draft a point guard. Jazz have two positions draft. They can move up a little bit. But the point guard everybody wants is Trey Burke. They think he's going to be a good point guard. The problem is he's projected he's going to go 6. Jazz have a 14th and an 18th pick. Yeah, we're not going to get up that high unless we're moving a player too. And honestly, unless we think Trey Burke is going to be, amazing, then I think the player you're looking to trade is Alec Burks. And it's nothing on Alec Burks, but he hasn't really develop the way we want to develop, and that's partially Ty's fault, and that's partially his fault. But, you know, I think if you're going to trade any of the four guys, it's going to be Alec. It may be Jeremy. No offense to Jeremy, but he's that guy that you think, okay, maybe. He just kind of sticks around, and obviously he's not getting much minutes, and that's partially his body's fault, the fact that he can't really gain weight. So, anyways, after that, Jamal, I'm going to bring Jamal back. Let's see, anybody else? All right, there's Paul and Al. Now, we're bringing one of them back. I think we bring one of them back. And the way that Paul played this season is just so different from the player we have had. And you're almost, and the way he's played, and you're like, I don't know. Maybe we do bring back Al. Maybe we bring back Al for 3 years. You know, right at that point where, you know, Anna's and Derek are, like, exploding at that point. Not in frustration, in talent. When they're exploding in talent, and the fact that, okay, they both have to be on the court at the same time, they both have to be starting, and then you're like, okay. Then you deal Al. And so I'm thinking we bring back Al, so then we don't have Mo, or not Mo, we don't have Earl, Marvin, Paul, and yeah. So those are the three guys we don't bring back, and then we see what we can get from that. But anyways, that's my season in review kind of type of thing. See what players developed, and hopefully the Jets can do some stuff. The playoff predictions, I guess I can pull up that real quick. Let's bring up the standings and whatnot. So right now we got Milwaukee versus Miami. I think that's be Miami in 5. Indiana and Atlanta, I think it's be Indiana in 6. Brooklyn and Chicago, I think it's going to be Brooklyn. Brooklyn in 7. New York and Boston, I think it's going to be New York in 6. Thunder and Rockets, that's going to be Thunder in 6. Spurs, Lakers, Spurs in 5. Denver and Golden State, I think it's going to be Denver in 7. And then Clippers and Memphis, I think it's going to be Memphis in 7. I think Memphis can do it this year. I think they struggled against last year, but that's my playoff predictions in that round. And then after that, Miami and Indiana, I think it's going to be Miami in 7. And then Brooklyn and New York, which is going to be crazy. New York in 7. Yeah, New York in 7. And then Miami in 5 against New York for Miami to the finals. It's going to be Thunder. Oh, I lied. It's going to be Miami versus Brooklyn, Indiana, and New York. But Miami, so Miami in 6 versus Brooklyn, Indiana in... Ooh, that's actually a tough one. Indiana and New York. I think it's going to be Indiana in 6 versus New York. And then Miami versus Indiana. So Miami... in Miami in 7. I'm going to say Miami in 7 to go to the finals. Thunder and Nuggets. I am bad. Holy crap. Anyways, I think Miami in the East is going to the finals. It would have been Miami, New York, actually. No, it wouldn't. Okay, they have this weird... they have a really weird way of doing this thing. So it would have been... no, I was right the first time. Okay, so it would be Thunder versus the Clippers. Thunder in 7. And then San Antonio and the Nuggets. I'm going to take the Nuggets, actually. I'm going to take the Nuggets in 6. And then Nuggets versus the Thunder. I'm going to take Thunder in 6. And then Miami in 6. So, that's that. The way I'm looking at this thing, they didn't actually put it as a playoff bracket. They just kind of like randomized it. And anyways, that's that. That's my little playoff prediction. I think Heat are going to win again. I think it's going to be awesome battles and whatnot. And hopefully the Jazz will get things going in the offseason. Bring in some, you know, a couple free agents, maybe a good draft pick. As far as the draft, now that I got the draft, the Jazz are projected to be taking, where is the, let's see, where is that? I'll have to go back. I hate ESPN's website. It's terrible. There it is. Lottery mock draft. So the Jazz are projected to be taking, at the 14th pick, obviously, Kelly Olynyk, and he's from Gonzaga. I actually watched him play during the tournament. I watched him play, and he's actually a pretty good player. You know, he can, he's got a nice jump shot. He can score inside, and he could be a good, a backup for, Cantor, or maybe even, Favors, whoever. He's a center. He's 7 foot. He's 238 pounds. I mean, he's kind of got, I don't like his hair, but maybe we can convince him to get a haircut. But but anyways, that's where we're picking. Like I said, Trey Burke is actually projected at 4, not 6. I apologize for that. And Trey Burke is what the Jazz want, or a lot of Jazz fans saying, oh, we got to get Trey Burke. There's no way we can trade up and get the number 4 pick unless we're trading Gordon or Favors or Cantor. That's just not going to happen. Anyways, that's my little prediction. If you've listened to this, I congratulate you. I did not expect it to go 51 minutes. I was thinking maybe 30, but that's the whole season review, draft, playoffs, you know, little player evals and whatnot. So anyways, I guess I'll do a couple more. Obviously, I'll do some stuff for the draft and whatnot. But anyways, you guys have a good off season, and hopefully we get some good stuff going. This is Andrew with the Utah Jazz Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at OakleyCon, OakleyCon, and I'll see you guys later.